Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. Talk show. I keep forgetting to say that, and I keep getting notes that I'm supposed to say that. So yes, it's a talk show, or as they say in England, a chat show. How about that? But yeah, you found it, folks. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am very, very excited tonight. I've been looking forward to this tonight's show all week long because we've got writer director of this fantastic movie. It's one of my favorites of the summer so far that I've seen, of the year so far that I've seen. We have Mr. Royce Gorsuch, writer and director of Mad Genius. Royce, how are you?
I'm excellent, excellent. Happy to be here.
very cool, very cool. And hopefully I'm saying your last name correctly. I'm just kind of saying it as it's written. I hope that's
you
okay.
You nailed it.
I'm doing that right. All right. All right. We're cooking with grease tonight. We're cooking with grease. Very, very cool. Now, Royce, let me ask you, this is a fantastic movie, and we're going to get into it and whatnot. But I'm curious. Are you from LA or where did you grow up?
Originally, funny enough, I'm from the country, and I'm originally from Oregon, and
oh, wow.
I lived kind of in the Willamette Valley and sort of in wine country, and barley country.
Well, I'm curious, were you always like, growing up, I grew up in a suburb north of Detroit, and I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. I'm not in the film business or anything, but I'm one of those. Let me put it this way, Royce. I'm currently building a backyard movie theater in our backyard, So I'm into film,
Amazing.
I paint a lot of. Yeah. A lot of my paintings come from that work, just because it's such a cool personification of various things and whatnot. I'm curious, and I was kind of that art kid growing up. Were you like a movie guy growing up? Were you, out there filming stuff or having ideas, writing stories?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does go back to that time period as I was growing up because I was an only child, but I lived in the mm-hmm. middle of the country, and so I had no friends. So,
right.
I had to make up a few, imaginary friends, and that's pretty fitting considering the film.
Exactly.
I also started, filming and making little movies with my action figures, and then it evolved into filming home movies, and iMovie came out, and I started just tinkering around with that. And it just evolved from there through the rest of my life. So
that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Origin.
Well, as my grandmother used to say, an artist finds their paint, meaning, there's what you're supposed to be doing will manifest itself, and there's no greater – when you figure that out, and, I've known people 60 years old that are still trying to figure that out and we hope they do soon. But things just seem right when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing,
Absolutely.
There's no better feeling. There's no better feeling. Now, this film, I have a lot of – it seems growing up that all my friends were either musicians or then as I got a little older, they graduated to film folk, filmmakers, And I moved to the West Coast and whatnot. And I know that I know a lot of guys that make shorts and stuff like that, and that's a big deal. You know what I mean? It seems like when I got out of college, moved to California, it seemed every weekend I was involved in some sort of fundraising activity to get these things done. And this is way before crowdfunding and all that. Making a feature film, especially the level that Mad Genius is, I mean, how do you approach that? I assume you had an idea and then just – that seems like a giant hurdle a wall to get over,
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I'll say one thing is that I'm totally brazen and you know, foolish. So that's the first ingredient. You know, I had been working in the film business, doing commercial work for, you know, many years prior. And so I had a pretty good leg under me. And I had made some short films and all that stuff. So, you know, I basically had enough rope to hang myself. And I made this really big choice in 2015 that I was kind of tired of working in the commercial end of the business. And that wasn't why I set out, you know, to be a filmmaker. And, you know, all of my heroes like Christopher Nolan or, you know, Darren Aronofsky, they went out and they made their first film of their own merit, you know, and those guys are the guys I look up to. So I said, you know what, if I want to, you know, try to follow in their footsteps on any level, then I have to really do it. So I made this big choice to make this film, and, you know, I had a lot of elements that were sort of serendipitous that came together in terms of the, you know, the people that worked on it and the locations, as well as the concept I had been, you know, brewing for a long time. And I kind of mashed all those things together to create the film. And, you know, it was a massive undertaking, and it's taking me 3 years to essentially write and develop and finance and bring everything together and make it and then get it also distributed. So it's been it's been quite a journey.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. I sat down to watch this film, and we do on the show, we have a mix of musicians, like bands and stuff like that, and then independent film and whatnot. And now we're getting to some next level type film like yours and this and that. And, you know, you never know what to expect. And I sat down, and the trailer was great. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, they could have, you know, I'm hoping. And before we came on the air, I was telling you I'm a big sci-fi fan. And so I'm not one of those guys that'll nitpick a film. You know what I mean? But you want to be entertained and whatnot as well. So you never know. And I sat down with this, and as it just went on, I'm like, oh my God, I felt like, and I know people have probably compared this just because of some of the one character in particular, a couple of the characters, to like Fight Club or something. It's that good, though.
For sure.
Was watching this going, I'm watching something important that people are going to be talking about for decades, you know, not just a couple months or Flash in the Pan. I mean, this is a cool film. This is going to be one of those films that people pull out when they're the cool, when you know how you'll know a cool person and they have like cool films or music or whatever. This is one of those movies. So,
wow. Well, I mean, it doesn't get a higher compliment than that, because I know exactly the type of people you're talking about. You know, they have the cool books, the cool movies.
Actual movies. Yeah. It's true. It's true. Now, let me ask you this. Imagining a science fiction, I mean, and don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen, there aren't any spaceships necessarily in this or laser. Well, kind of. Not really. But I mean, coming to wading into a genre like that. And I understand, you know, we live in a world of cool technology and computer software and this and that. You're the imagery and the use of CGI and what happened in the film. Looked great. It looked spot on. I mean, this is fantastic. I don't know how that process of that works, but man, it sure does look good on the screen, you know?
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, visual effects for this film were paramount, and they also, you know, they grew as we were making the thing, and it was a ridiculously ambitious project for the amount of money we had, which was not very much at all. I had just enough money essentially to pay everyone what's called a SAG ultra low budget rate, which is,
okay.
you know, essentially everyone involved is doing it for the passion of it, not for the money at all.
Right.
And, you know, the cast had various deals and whatnot, but it was, you know, it was a really labor of love.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare. Hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L-A-P-O-T-H-I-C-A-I-R-E-U-N-I-Q-U-E. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
And the visual effects team that we brought on were just these incredible guys that I had been fortunate enough to work with previously in my commercial work. And Chris Irvin from Velocity FX almost essentially did, you know, like 80% of the compositing and integration of the effects. And then he had a team member who did a lot of the design work and the creative. And those two guys really like did the entire movie with just themselves, just two guys. And it was mind blowing what they were able to achieve. And I, you know, my vision was overly ambitious for the money we had. So
I'm telling you, just the effect of, and again, I know that a normal audience, and I don't consider myself a normal audience, not that I'm on some higher plane or something. I'm weird and I think about things like this. Even with like one of the characters, you know, who wasn't really there, and they get that stuttering graphic effect, you know, where he's kind of half fading out here and there, but very rapidly.
Yeah.
I have no idea how something like that's done. You know, I'm like, how does he do that? I mean, is there a green screen involved? But it's moving, you know. I don't know. It's magic to me, and I don't really want to know because it's like a magic show. You know, I don't want to know because it's such a captivating world. Now, the other thing that's really captivating about your film is the plot, the story. And, you know, let's face it, you have to have a good story. And yours is spot on, especially in the world we live in. How did that come about? Where did these ideas for that, you know, coalesce?
Yeah, well, a lot of sources. the concept of the film, you know, if people don't know, is essentially a young mad genius is attempting to hack the human brain like a computer program.
Mm-hmm.
And to do so, he needs to map his mind into like a digital model. And then, you know, we kind of play with some magical science, you know, as you get into the film, it kind of gets a little fantastic. But the premise of it was based on some articles I had been reading back in 2012 about scientists who are actually, as we speak, digitally mapping a human brain. And the intricacy involved in that is unbelievable. You know, there's more connections in one human mind than all of the telecommunications on Earth. So it's a phenomenally complex, you know, blob of goo in between our ears. And I really got fascinated with, like, okay, well, if you have a map of the brain, like, maybe you can discover the codes of the brain, and then maybe you can rewrite those codes and, you know, alter, you know, human beings. That's sort of the goal of the protagonist. You know, the film is actually more about, like, the making of the thing than I would say maybe your typical Hollywood story. And in the Hollywood story, essentially, he would probably figure out the technology in, like, the first few scenes.
Right.
And then they would have this big, you know, epic result. And then there would be all these, you know, epic problems and, you know, et cetera. But my film is really more about, like, the making of the thing and all of the personal demons that you have to overcome while you're creating something, you know, creative or entrepreneurial, you know, as we all go through. Anyone. Right. So that's what it's really about, is the sort of psychological personal barriers, you know, that people go through when they make something. And that's
absolutely,
you know, that's the core of it. So it's a lot of stuff sort of mashed together. but that's the idea.
Well, it's fantastic. And I'll tell you, and it does get you thinking. Like I said, I'm a painter. I think a lot, man. Because there's nothing else to do when I'm working on a painting. You know, people think, oh, he's just involved, you know, into this. I'm like, yeah, usually we're coloring in spaces. You know what I mean? It's a mental paint by numbers, because I know what I want to do. But I think a lot when I'm working. And, you know, I was thinking about your film after watching it. And I'm like, man, anybody who's ever had a nightmare knows sometimes the brain, the consciousness, and the subconscious could, you know, it's kind of a Pandora's box. Do we want to, you know, are there certain rooms that need to be left closed, you know? And it got me thinking about other movies, you know, other movies in this kind of mind-bending genre, from like Jacob's Ladder to, Altered States even. And you know, I would put this in that same category. Not because of similar story or whatnot, just as movies that make you think, that you come away from and you're like, well, I was entertained, and now I'm going to be thinking about this for, you know, the next few days. And I think that's cool. You know, mission accomplished,
yeah,
sir.
Well,
mission accomplished.
Well, that was absolutely my goal. Yeah, I definitely, you know, the ending, the goal was to leave people thinking and trying to, like, add things up for themselves and to think about it, you know, a day or two later. And that was really the goal. I didn't want to spoon feed, you know, everything to the audience, like we're so used to having happen. And we made a pretty, you know, direct choice when we didn't do a third act flashback that shows everything and gives you the, like, the exact, you know, reveal and answer to all the questions of the film. We don't do that. And I didn't want to do that. And, you know, it's my little crazy movie. So I wanted it to be left really open-ended and just to make people, you know, think a little bit, you know, even just a little bit.
Absolutely. And still, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you, this is not, you know, there, I know I'm some of my listeners are going, oh, great, Jamie, is this going to be one of those boring art document? No, not at all. There's fantastic acting, fantastic cast. Again, I'm amazed, you know, especially when you said that about your, what do you call it? The SAG, sliding scale or something
SAG,
like that?
The ultra low budget.
Well, you know, that means that you got people that were that read the script and went, hell yeah, this is cool as hell. I got to do this, man. And you got cool people on it. Fantastic cast and acting or actors. And I was blown away with it. Blown away. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com. Now, let me ask you this. As a writer, director, I mean, you're wearing all these hats and whatnot. Royce, and this is a 3-year project. This isn't something you filmed one weekend in the backyard with your iPhone and some friends, you know, in zombie makeup. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to, if you're out there and you're planning on doing that this weekend, make your film. Do it, because you never know. Could lead to other things. Absolutely. Go paint with that brush. But this wasn't that caliber of film. This is a fantastic film. Wearing these different hats and getting this done. And okay, so you filmed the thing. It's been, and let's just fast forward past the editing. I mean, what was that, a year and a half, something like that? I can only imagine. And then you got to put the hat on distribution, getting this puppy out, you know, so people can watch it. How difficult is that, Royce? I mean, and hats off to your partner. Well, I don't know if you have one, but if you do, a wife or a partner or whatever, man, they are cool too, because 3 years, baby, working on this. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I've got a gal. I know how that road can go, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're right on with that. I couldn't have done it without, you know, the loved ones I had in my life and all the support of, you know, friends and family and my girlfriend, Shanti. You know, they were all just instrumental in helping me and keeping me going. Because I did, you know, I bit off a lot, you know, to chew. And I wrote it, I directed it, I produced some of it. Mm. And then I cut the film, I edited it, well. And then, you know, secured distribution and did that deal. And now, you know, I'm involved, you know, heavily in the marketing and promotion of it. So I feel much more like I'm like the CEO of a startup than I feel like I'm like an artist, you know?
Well, sometimes you have to do that to get the art out there. You know, about it. Somebody, I had a young kid, not a young kid, but a younger guy, younger than me. I'm at that age where I'm kind of sliding into being an old man now, you know. And he had said, oh, I want to paint like you. I think that'd be so cool to sit around and paint all day. And I'm like, yeah, I think that would be cool too, you know. But
yeah,
that phone rings, man, and you gotta work that email, you know, to make things happen. And
yeah,
I think with filmmakers, especially at ones at your level, and you know, people don't realize that that aren't in the bit. This thing just doesn't. You don't just make it and some guy with a monocle walks by and says, "This is a fantastic film. Why, we're going to make you a star. We're going to get into my limousine, have a star." You know, it. Maybe that happens. I don't know. But most of the people I know, that isn't the case. Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this, because we kind of touched on it. You had a successful career. I mean, you're making commercials and stuff and doing commercial work. And, you know, I assume that probably pays pretty well and whatnot. And then you said, you know what, I'm going to make a movie. And that's a big cliff to walk off of, you know?
Yeah, certainly. You know, I had an interesting thing happen in my career. I was doing really well for several mm-hmm. years, and 2013 was like my best year. I did a documentary series for the Olympics, and it was just so many positive things happening. And then I made some business errors and got involved with the wrong company.
Gotcha.
And 2014 was my worst year, and I hit sort of like a glass ceiling in a way. And
right.
I went from like just, you know, really high to really low, and that was the impetus. Yeah.
I've been there, man. That is not a fun ride, but a necessary ride for successful people, because you know not to take things for granted also. You were learning lessons in 2014.
It was the catalyst, you know, to make the choice to make the movie. You know, now, if I had in 2014, 2015, if I had said, oh, you know what, I'm going to double down on commercial filmmaking, mm-hmm. you know, I could have done that and continued, you know, on that trajectory and that path. But it wasn't like where my heart was. So that's what I chose to veer off and do this thing and make Mad Genius.
Well, I tell you what I find interesting about that. And this is a reoccurring, I meet a lot of successful people and I like to hang out with successful people because, you know, frankly, I'm hoping some of it rubs off on me. But no, you know, you try to learn from people and whatnot, and anything to shorten that curve, you know, that learning curve down. And one of the things that comes up that I've noticed in a lot of people is the ability for them to adapt to different situations. You know, here you, like you said, you were learning, you had a year where you learned lessons. We've all had them a few times, actually, if you're hard-headed like me. But you have to learn to adapt, you know, and those who don't kind of get left behind, you know. And it's cool. A bit, man, taking on a feature film. Whoa, maybe that's what you needed to do, obviously, you know, because it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. Fantastic.
Well,
and now you're sitting pretty and you've got that Tony Stark house out on the Malibu cliff there.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, maybe. my goal for
not
a long
quite.
Time to have that one of them swimming pools that just go over the edge. You know what I mean? I'm like, ooh, I want that. I'm working towards that. But I got to tell you, that's a lot of painting sales, man. So, you know, you adapt your goals sometimes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Welcome to the Total Wireless Store, where total confidence awaits.
I need to keep up with my teens this summer without sweating high cell phone bills.
Don't worry. You got this with Total Wireless. We have plans to fit all your family's needs starting at just $25 on the nation's best 4G LTE network.
I won't miss a thing.
Now you can focus on the important stuff, like arguing about curfew.
Discover the Total Wireless stores and get total confidence. The latest phones, the best network, all at great prices. Now open in Miami. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at TotalWireless.com.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Well, this is cool. I have to ask you, because I know we're up against time and whatnot. Real quick, are the gears turning? I know that you just finished this. You just finished this marathon of creativity and business and all of this. And it's fantastic. Results are, you know, speak for themselves. This is a fantastic movie. Are the gears turning for the next project?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I started a few scripts along the way over the last couple of years, as I was, you know, doing post-production and distribution. And, I've been writing a television project that I'm very excited about, and
really?
We're hoping to take out, it would be an episodic project. We're hoping to take out into Hollywood land. This summer, and then we'll see what happens from there. Yeah,
that's an interesting business and an interesting landscape, especially now with all these various channels and networks and streaming platforms and whatnot. It seems like the market for contented material is huge now. If you can traverse, get your foot in the door to some of these places, and having an awesome movie kind of probably helps with that, I would imagine. But yeah, that's good. Is it the similar world, a similar vein, science fiction, mind-bending type stuff, or are you going in a different direction with that? From what you can give away of it, I don't want. Oh, cool.
Certainly.
Very cool.
It definitely is. I would call it exactly that, mind-bending science fiction.
I love it.
It would be the genre. It is a little more grounded. It doesn't necessarily have like the sort of magical science that I would say is in Mad Genius. It is more based on sort of current and soon to be current technologies ahead. So.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I have been kicking around the idea of doing another show, a separate show, maybe like once a month or whatnot. I tell people I'm an amateur futurist because I eat this stuff up. I love reading these articles and you know, because we live, it's so easy to get focused on all the stuff when you turn the news and all the political stuff and division in the country and whatnot. And it's terrible. And there's horrific things. I don't want to make light of that, but at the same time, I tend to focus on, we live in a magical age, you know. I mean, this is almost like the age of Edison and Tesla almost when it comes to technology. You know, we're doing amazing things right now. And sometimes that gets lost in the shuffle of upheaval, social issues and whatnot that we find ourselves in. But, man, I tell you, I can't wait to see this. Make it happen, Royce, is what I'm saying, because I love it. And I think I'm not the only one. There's a big market for that, you know. People eat it up. They love
it. I love your enthusiasm for it because I agree with you. And I think, you know, people kind of get used to things quickly and kind of forget how, you know, truly, I mean, like the iPhone that, you know, half the country holds in their pocket. It really is a magical device. I mean, as much as we hate them in some ways, I mean, it's unbelievable what they can do. And I mean, it's just the beginning. You know, since my film, you know, was started and we've been working on it, you know, Elon Musk came out with a new project he's creating called Neuralink, which essentially is like a brain machine interface. And imagine like a net going around inside of your skull and like wrapping around your brain and basically like putting an iPhone into your mind and so much more. And essentially like creating like a cyborg, you know, human computer interface being. As sort of like this next level of human evolution. And that's, you know, that guy's working on that. That's not like,
right.
I didn't just describe a science fiction story. Like that's a guy doing it, you know?
Exactly. It's happening. Right
it's
now.
Crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. And there's, you know, it's funny because some people you'll tell that scenario to that story, not story, but that, you know, of what's report of what's going on, and they're like, "Oh, the evils of," blah, blah. And I'm like, "You know what? Technology is a tool." And I was at a party, and this kind of a similar situation had happened, and somebody was, you know, of course they go down the Frankenstein rabbit hole, you know, the Jurassic Park, you know, and I'm like, "Well," and this person was wearing eyeglasses, and I said, "You know, your eyeglasses that you're wearing, they help you see. They augment what you know your body there. You need them, right?" Well, yeah, of course. I said, that's technology. There was a time when people didn't have those eyeglasses, you know, and they squinted a lot and stubbed their toes. And, you know, it's how it's used. You know what I mean? And I think if we educate people and people get to a point where they'll get excited like we are, too, about technology, you know, and the possibilities, you know, of.
Elon Musk, one of my.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that you hit it right on the head, you know, and that's partly what Mad Genius is about, you know, this incredible technological possibility. But once you see it in the wrong hands, it suddenly becomes terrifying, right? And what it is asking that question of what you're discussing about technology is a tool, but in the hands of human beings, you know, it can go.
Yeah, some of those,
you know,
exactly. We
drastically
there's certain people
in,
we don't want
different directions.
Yeah, control panel. Hey man, Royce, I'm living in a world where certain somebody's carrying around nuclear football codes, you know? I mean, we got to stay positive or we're going to cry. You know? I mean,
Oh,
man. But it's cool. And I like this. Now, I want to mention before I before we run out of time, and I know we're running a little late. I'm moving along. I'm sorry about that. But Mad Genius is out. People can watch this. You know, you don't have to be cool like Jamie and get the advanced copy. But it's out. People can watch this wherever they stream, right? You can get it on Amazon and iTunes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we chose to do an all-digital release, kind of mm-hmm. a la, you know, the film. And it is on Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, you know, Xbox, Google, Play, all of those platforms. Yeah.
And that's cool. And I'll tell you, the interesting thing, compared to 10 years ago, all of my friends, well, I should say not all of them, all of my friends under 40, that's how they watch movies. You know, there's a lot,
yep.
and people just aren't watching it on their phones. A lot of them do, but man, you know, if you're like us in our house, we have the big TV hooked up to all that, you know, where we can watch stuff, and we're not, I don't think we're alone in that, you know?
Absolutely. You know, with the release, you know, we had the option to do, you know, some theatrical or, you know, mm-hmm. various different, or like DVD, et cetera. And really, you know, what I always envisioned for the film was to meet the audience where they live, and you know, where they live, a majority of my audience is absolutely completely, you know, on VOD and online platform, mm-hmm. you know, for their entertainment. And, you know, Netflix is a whole other beast because basically Netflix wants rights to the world. And mm-hmm. the way that film distribution works is that either you could sell it to a Netflix and they would take rights for the entire world, or you can sell the film to different territories and countries and divide mm-hmm. it up into like a pie, right? And that way is going to prove a better return on our, you know, financial investment versus
right.
What we were offered from Netflix. But that doesn't mean that we won't eventually be on Netflix, you know, later in time. It's just the way that the distribution system works. We're releasing one territory at a time.
Well, you know, that's interesting to me because I've had people ask me, and frankly, like I said, I'm in the art business. I'm not really in the – I know people like you and that are in the entertainment business, the movie business. And people have asked me, they're like, well, how come some of these movies take a while to get to that? Well, probably because of what Royce just said there. you know, there's a process. And but then again, at the same time, Netflix ain't the only game in town, ladies and gentlemen. There is – I mean – I don't know if anybody's like me, man. We have everything. We have the Hulu, Amazon, all that stuff. Venmo, or whatever it's called.
The days of Netflix having everything you want are going to be short numbered because, you know, essentially Disney is, you know, they're buying up pretty much everyone. And
right.
AT&T just bought Time Warner. And so basically, it's going to be Disney, AT&T, Netflix, and Amazon. Those will be essentially the four studios,
right?
Because they will have purchased the other ones or destroyed them.
you know, crazy.
One of the
did
two,
you
right?
Did you one of those you know, we were talking about cool movies, and what you just said reminded me of the little just a throwaway line in the movie Cloud Atlas. I can learn how to talk one of these days. And there's, I don't know if you saw that or not, but there's different chapters, and then one of the chapters, it's a future world type thing, and this cat's talking to this gal, who's an android or whatever. But, you know, anyway, then that doesn't matter. It's not what I'm talking about. But he mentions they're going to watch an old-time movie, you know, to them, what's an old-time movie. And they call the movie Disney's. Like, that's the term for film is Disney's. Like, oh, yeah, I've got a cool Disney we can watch here. And it isn't, you know, they don't put on Pinocchio or whatever. That's just the blanket term for all. And when I saw that in the film, I kind of laughed to myself because you're right, man. It's, you know, 200 years down the road. It's interesting. It's interesting. And here you are. You're a part of all this, Royce. You're a part of this machine, this entertainment machine that's happening. And you're right in the middle of it, you know. That's got to be pretty cool.
I'm kind of like, I'm like the rebel starfighter going up against the Death Star.
Exactly. Use the Force, Royce. Use the Force. Get it in that hat. Fantastic. Well, I can't wait. I'm so glad to have met you, sir. And I can't wait to see and experience more of, you know, your mad genius. Because it's really good. It's good stuff. And I'm sure you're going to be on the show again with the next project, you know. Keep doing what you're doing, Royce, because you're real good at it, is basically what I want to say. You know, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And, you know, the film is, yeah, the film is a quirky, weird, psychedelic, you know, little ride through some pretty trippy ideas. And
absolutely.
Some fun. There's definitely some fun action and thrills in there too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm telling you, I bet it's happening right now. Somebody's telling their, some cool kid is telling their one of their friends, you got to check this out. And well, you know, not to toot my own horn, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the show, you got to check this out. This is a cool film. Definitely check this out. And so cool. Keep doing it, man. Keep the fight going. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I will.
And I should let people know too, on our show page, you can find out more about the film Mad Genius. There's all kinds of accolades. I mean, if you're a film buff person, you know, it's in all these film festivals. I mean, like we've been saying, it's a cool film. We have a show link to it. It's got a standalone webpage called The Mad Genius Project, all one word, themadgeniusproject.com. And you can get there, and there's links to all the various social media on it. I'm not going to get on a big rant tonight, folks, but I'll just get on a small one. If you dig something, an independent film or a band or you know, a baker, whatever, you dig what they're doing, like their social media. It's so important in meetings that come up. There's a word called engagement, and that roughly means how many likes they have on Facebook and follows on Instagram and all of that. While you're doing that, ladies and gentlemen, hit that share button too, because chances are your weird friends are going to be into the same stuff you're into as well. So, you know, that's why you're friends. Very, very important. Royce, so cool to meet you, sir. I had so much fun tonight. Thank you so much for being on the show. You're awesome.
Yeah, likewise. This was a fantastic interview, and thank you for all the good energy.
Absolutely. I'm going to stay right in touch, and I can't wait to see some more. And I'm going to be, you know, letting all of my friends know. Mad Genius, man. You got the weekend's upon us, folks. It's coming soon. I expect you all to watch this, and then email me or, you know, tweet at me or whatever, and tell me what a great recommendation that was, because I know I'm right, because I love this. And this is one of those films I could watch over and over again. I'm telling you. It's very, very cool. Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed on all the various social media streams, including it for free on Apple Podcasts. So if you are listening to the show in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor, hit that ratings and review, because for us, that keeps us up at the top of the page. And when I have meetings with advertisers and the like, it makes things oh so much easier for me. So I appreciate that. And very, very cool. We will be back tomorrow with a special afternoon edition. We've got a – man, this is kind of different. We've got a very cool soul and R&B singer, named Whitney McCain, and she's on tomorrow. And it's funny because when I got her her press stuff from her, the PR company that sent it over to me, I thought to myself, I don't know what I was thinking. I, for some reason, I had it in my head, and I didn't even know her stuff at all. And I looked, as you do on when you get somebody in on YouTube, and man, her new single's got like 1,700,000 views on it. So pretty excited for that. Really, really good singer-songwriter on tomorrow afternoon. 3 o'clock in the, on the East Coast in the afternoon, and that'll be noon out on the West. So we will see you then. Royce, have a great night. And again, thank you so much. Very excited about this film.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.